Well, yeah, I didn't really have anything prepared, but there we go. So, yeah, I'll just give you a little update about I guess, a life update, a church update, and try and encourage you. Yeah, wouldn't that be good? So, I just really want to encourage you as well that sometimes we have these ideas of a big church and the presence of God falling on bigger churches, but I really feel the presence of God here. And you know, the Bible confirms that, doesn't it? Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. And I really feel that he's here. So, yeah, in Romania, we have, I was joking. I feel like I'm doing the easy bit. I just go shopping for people. I feel like people are going, well done. We're so glad about what you're doing in Ukraine. I feel like you guys are like gathering the funds and other people from different places. Then they give it to me and I like go to the shop and buy like beds and mattresses, which is pretty fun. And then, like, I go and take it to the people who are looking after the people who need the help. So I feel like I'm kind of like a fraud, but I'm not. The money is going into good places. That's why I'm taking pictures of myself in all of these, like, mattress shops. Like, it's here. I spent the money in a good place. So, we've been buying mattresses, beds. There's been lots of need for that. It's hard to take pictures of the real needs, which you don't want to take pictures of people in distress. You don't want to take pictures of people who are the really needy people. Hey. Also, there's a lot of a need for people to be able to put petrol in cars to get to the places they want to get to. So that's a huge thing that we've been paying for people to go to Germany, paying for people to go to family in different places. And people who haven't had family, they've been finding job opportunities online, you know, and these community groups on Facebook that have really been helping. Really, it's been amazing the way that people have opened up their homes and their workplaces to accommodate the needy and people who are really, really struggling. it's quite, just this is what I experienced. So we went to the border. There's an awful lot of corruption on the Ukrainian side. I'm sure that most Ukrainians are wonderful people, but there's a lot of corruption in their country. And then on the side of the Ukrainian border, they weren't letting people come through unless they paid about 200 or 300 euros a person to the border guard for no reason. Maybe, you know, you didn't have this document or you didn't have this document. Well, in a war situation, you probably don't usually have all your documentation with you. There were things like you needed to have, like, a power of attorney so that the woman can take the kids out of the country without the husband when it's obvious what's going on, so who has time to go to lawyers and things like that. So there was one woman who came through the border, and she was heavily pregnant, and she had to pay 3,000 euros to be able to come through with her husband because it's martial law, and so they have to have the men have to stay to fight, so I guess, but they let them through if you paid the money, you know. So there's lots of money needed. When they come through, they were so shocked, they were like looking around. I mean, I went to the busier border. There's a few borders, obviously, along the border. but there's a few entrances, you know. The busiest one is quite far away from us, so we didn't go there. But the next one, the next busiest one, we went there, and people were coming through so shocked and surprised, and they were like people were giving them, you know, things and giving them food and they were like so surprised at the warmth that they were receiving and at the hospitality and that everything was free, and they were like trying to find money, and we were like, no, it's free. And you know, there were the Red Cross there, and there were all different people, and they were really surprised that it was all free. Because I think, like, I don't really know how that information's not really getting across to them. But, yeah, it's free. So they were shocked and surprised about that. And then people would take them into their homes. You know, you had to go and register on a thing so that they can, like, check up on them and see how things are going. Usually with an organization, you can, sign up and you can take people in to either your home or to the organization that you're going to be with. And we're working together with, I'm just going to put this down so it doesn't look like I'm going to read anything from there right now. We're working together with a church, a local church, that we just saw that they were just doing things without anyone giving them resources or anyone giving them finances. There were other bigger churches that have lots of resources and lots of finances that weren't doing really very much. And not that I'm saying they should have, I'm just saying they weren't. So this other church, which is smaller, were doing loads of stuff, even if they didn't have resources. And this pastor was paying out of his own pocket and going to just take people and doing things, whatever he could, you know. And I, in the first week of finding out about the war, like when it first came, I mean, that morning, I woke up with such an anxiety in my spirit, but you know when it's your spirit and it's not you. And I was like, oh, today's not going to be a good day. You know, it feels like, oh, this is something's weird. And then you turn on the news and it was all of that, you know, it's war and this. And I just thought, I felt like for about 5 days, I was like blocked. And I felt like there's so much I could do. Like I'm here and I should be doing stuff, but what could I do? I feel like I wanted someone to ring me and go, oh, hi, Rebecca, can you just go and do this? Because that would help the situation, you know. But then I needed someone to tell me what to do. And I was thinking, oh, and Bogdan was away in Austria. And I was with the kids and I was like, what can I do? I need to do something, but I don't know what to do. And there were kind of like groups of people starting to gather and do different things. But I was like, I don't understand how to get, it wasn't really very organized. I mean, Love Romania, it's not known for its organizational skills. So it's, you know, it was a bit hard to understand what I could get involved with. And so by the by, I ended up organizing things, which I just was like, what are you doing? We're not doing anything, but we want to do stuff. What are you doing? Nothing, but let's do something. All right, let's do it. What should we do? I don't know. And then it was like, oh, you got a call. Oh, we've gathered some funds. Here's some money. So like, let's go and do stuff now. We can do and do some stuff. So it was like, yeah, you know. And so then we like latched onto this church who were doing lots of the stuff and without the funds, and we had the funds, and then we wanted to help them because also then we had in our church, we've got young people who are free and they just want to like go and rescue the world, you know. So they were, we were like, oh, you can drive to Germany and take them to where they've got to go, or you can drive to the border and pick this family up. And that was good for the pastor having this little like team. So we kind of like work together, and we are part of like a WhatsApp group with who each of the other churches have got like a representative who are dealing with, who are like for the Ukraine thing. So we're part of that WhatsApp group. So whenever they need an extra pair of hands, we go and help them. So it's starting to all come together, which is really good. So right now, the pastor of this church, he's like opened up he's got like a kitchen in the back and has like a canteen, because he usually works with poor people and with needy people and like actually with gypsies. So he has like a canteen and he's changed that all into like a big like dormitory. So we like equipped all of that out for him and stuff. And we have been going also to another border, another lesser known border, where people are actually leaving the country. And now some people they're leaving the country in Mercedes and Jeeps and things that you think, oh, they've got loads of money, but they've left a war zone in a Jeep, and that's it. Like, they can't sell their Jeep to go and get, like, a sandwich. So they've got no money, and they're not, you know, they need money too, and they need help too. So there were cars lined up to get out of Romania. They'd obviously come into Romania, and they were going out through to either, like, to Hungary, and to go on further to other countries. Oh, dear. And so they were in need, and people weren't getting to them because they were thinking, oh, well, they're off out to freedom now, they're fine. But actually, they're not eating for 2 days or didn't have any money. They couldn't. There were often like a woman in the car with kids in the back, and she couldn't. And there was the Red Cross who were like, say, from here to where the road is outside. But she couldn't get out and leave her kids in the car and go to the Red Cross and get a sandwich, because the Red Cross weren't going to cars and going to people. And they were scared as well. They wouldn't get out of the cars and going and seeing what's what when they've got all the kids in the back and it was evening and they were asleep. So we made up a whole load of sandwiches and like little packets with like just different things in for them. And we were just knocking on the door. We had these little pamphlets that somebody had sent me, these pamphlets. And then incidentally, I was on Instagram looking through like people doing different things. I was like, oh, this like Bethel Church and everyone are doing things. And I was like, they've got our pamphlets. And I was like, it's the same pamphlet. So we're giving out these pamphlets that are like, that said, do not fear. It was in Ukrainian and in Russian as well. Like, do not fear. And then on the other side, oh, I'm with you. And then on the other side was just a prayer and just something really for them to know as well. A lot of them don't speak English at all, even the young people, they don't speak English. We couldn't communicate with them at all. We had one Ukrainian girl with us who was trying to translate some things that we needed to express to them. So basically the pamphlet was like our way of being like, we're okay, it's something that's gonna be good for you, you know. So we were knocking on windows and things, and then some people would like wind the window down and we'd be like, it's okay, food, sandwiches. And then they were just like, oh yeah, 10 sandwiches. And we were like giving them loads of sandwiches, you know. And then they were like, some of them were like, oh no, it's okay, you know. And some of them were like, oh no, it's okay, we've got food. So they might have been ones who did end up having, you know, money or whatever. But yeah, so we did that, and that was another thing that we did. Another little story about somebody, sort of three people that we met. I don't know if I sent you on the group a picture of these Nigerian students. Bless them. They were so sweet. They were the first people to text me on my birthday in the morning. I was like, how did you know it was my birthday? They're like, you told us. I was like, oh yeah, that sounds like me. So I was like, it's only because his birthday was the day after mine. And we were like, oh, we have the same birthday. But anyway, so we just went to another border, which was a lot closer to us, but people weren't really coming through that side because it was like the furthest away from the Ukraine. So we went to that border to register like our organization and our car in case people come through that border so they could call us so we could come and collect them. So we went there, and one family came through and they got picked up by an organization and they went off. And then we were there probably for about an hour and nobody else came through, and we were about to leave. And then we saw these three Nigerian people coming through, like young people. They were 18, 20, and 21, I think. And they were just coming through from the distance, and they were like dragging their bags, you know, behind them. And then Pastor Yonchi was like, go and speak to them. He's huge. Pastor Yonchi's like this big, this wide, heart of gold, like the best father heart ever. And he was going, they're ours, like this. And I was like, all right, let's just find out what they want. Like maybe they're like, they don't want to come with us. So then they came closer. And then everyone's jiving on them. And then we realized that, oh, they speak English. They didn't speak Ukrainian. People were trying to speak to them. So I kind of went into, because Basion, she actually pushed me into everybody. She was going, she knows English. Pushed me in. So I was like, hello. So I started to speak to them. And they were like, oh, hi. Like, because they could understand me better than the other people that they were talking to. So anyway, we were just talking and chatting to them, and around about we ended up, they were ours. So we took them in, and we were like, oh, do you want to come with us? And it's okay, you know, we're this organization. Explained to them, you know, that we were okay, you know, and they were like, yeah, we'll come, you know. They were just obviously so tired. So they came in and they got in the car, and I was going, I said, well, this is Pastor Yonchi, and you know, do you are you Christians? Or like, this is Pastor Yonchi, don't worry, like, we're legit, like, it's okay, Christians. And he was like, they were like, oh, very Christians. And we were like, yeah, very Christians. We were like, do you go to church on Sunday? You can come with us. And they were like, every Sunday. We were like, yay. And they were like so happy that we were Christians. And we were like so happy that they were happy. So, I mean, obviously you would take them even if they weren't, but they were just happy that they were happy about that. And then Pastor Yonchi's sister lives in Germany, and she goes to a church of Nigerians, like just Nigeria's huge Nigerian church. And so she put them in touch with each other, and they've gone over there to them now, which was so nice the way that all linked together. And it really hit home for me when their mum, they gave my number to their mum, their parents, you know. And I won't do the accent because I was... But then she was calling me and she was going, we only have tears for you. And we could only thank you, you saved my children. And it hits home, doesn't it? You think, wow, if your kids were just walking out from a war zone, 18 years old, that's a kid. That's like 20 years old, their kids. And they come out from this war zone and you're in Nigeria. Like, where, you know, how are you going to contact them? And how are you going to know that they're okay? So she was just going, the Lord has protected our kids. And I was like, yeah, he really did. This is the Lord. We were asking them about their story. They'd been, their building next to them, because they were from Kharkiv, the building next to them had been bombed completely. And they were in the building there and saw it. So they went into a bunker. And they were there for 8 days with very little food. and their parents had put money on their card, but they couldn't get any money out because there was no money in the bank machine, in the ATMs, bank machines. So they were just like, well, let's just leg it and we'll just run and see what's what, you know, out there, because we can't stay here forever. So they got out and they went. They'd been walking for 2 days, and they'd been on a train for 30 hours on their feet, standing up because there were no seats. And they got split up at one point and somehow found each other again. And they were just like, yeah, you know, but they were telling it as if it was like a story or like a film that they'd seen, you know, as if you would do, though, wouldn't you? Just telling it. And then, you know, then that evening, one of them texted me and was like, is it okay if you try and find me a psychologist? Because I need to talk to someone. And I was like, yeah, well, yeah, of course, you know. So we did, and they went to go and see someone, and they were just like, I feel lighter in my spirit now, you know. So that was good, and it's just little things, and they were part of a meeting. We all had like a group meeting, like, huddle, what should we do next? Who should we help next? And they were there. And they were like, the thing that you can really, really do to help people is to do this bit, which is like after as well, looking after us and then taking us where we need to go, because not everyone wants to stay in Romania, obviously, and some people do, but it's like, it's the aftercare bit as well. You know, they were like, it's good that people give us food and it's good that people let us stay somewhere, but we're also on our own and we don't know how to communicate with our family, or like we got them, you know, phone cards and stuff to be able to. It's just things like that, and all of that obviously costs money. So when you want to help somebody and you can't, it's frustrating. But with the finances that you've provided and the other people as well, I know my grandma's been on a tour trying to get people to donate, which is really lovely. It really, really does help, and it helps them. So I feel good just talking about how I feel. I feel good about finding my little niche of how to help, you know, like organizing people and directing the funds and kind of doing that aftercare bit, because I could feel like I want to go right in the middle of, you know, Kiev and go and save everybody, but that wouldn't be wise. So, yeah. So that's basically that about the Ukraine. There we go. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. No. Oh, that's not it. Do you want me to tell about the church as well?
Okay. Are you here next week?
I am here next week. I'll be better prepared.
Okay. So I think you've been great prepared. So if you come next week, talk a little bit more about what you've done, and
right.
also about the church, that'll
okay.
be good. Okay.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, we've obviously sent you quite a bit of money.
Yeah.
I think we sent...
It's close to 7,000 on total
yeah.
now.
Okay. So we've sent quite a lot of money, but how much money have you got left? And do you still need more money?
Well, I think the way it looks, more money will be needed for further on, like, you know, looking after people. We've probably spent about a quarter of it.
So not
an awful lot of it, but we only got it recently.
We don't want you to be short.
No. That's great. Thank you.
Brilliant.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Done. Just take that off when you can. Let's just pray. Let's all stand and pray and just pray for Rebecca and Bogdan and the church. It's great to have you. You're only here next week, and then you're going back.
Next week.